11 o'clock at night, little boy calls out, "Daddy, Daddy!" Father goes down the hall to his son's room. He opens the door and goes in, and the little boy says, "Daddy, Daddy, there's a monster in the closet. I heard these sounds, and I woke up, and I saw these shadows, and I heard these noises, and there's a monster in the closet." And the father says, "Well, you don't have to worry about monsters. There's no monsters." And opens the closet and says, "Look, see, there's nothing here but your shoes and your toys and your clothes here in the closet. There's nothing to be afraid of." And he said, "And besides, son, don't you know that Jesus loves you? You know that. You remember that song you sing in Sunday school? Let's sing it together. Jesus loves it." And they sing that song together, and it gives the little boy a hug, and the boy lays back down and goes on back to sleep. The father walks back down the hall to his room, and he walks in, and he begins to talk to his wife, and he says, "There's so many monsters out there. There's these terrorists. They're blowing things up and shooting people." And he said, and Joe down the street lost his job this week. There's all sorts of economic pressure. We got a mortgage, and there's all these bills, and there's cancer out there, and heart attacks, and I know so and so had this disease and that disease, and these people had this happen to them. There's all these monsters out there, and don't you wish that little boy could walk down the hall and open that door and say, "Daddy, don't you know Jesus loves you? You don't have to be afraid of all those monsters. Jesus loves you. Sing that song with me, Daddy. Jesus loves you." And that the father could calm all of his concerns and fears and worries and just go on to sleep like that little boy did. We want to talk a little bit this morning about worry. One of the pivotal points in the Sermon on the Mount spends 10 verses from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus spends those 10 verses talking about worry. You know, we talk lightheartedly about worry, like, "Oh, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that." And we don't think that it's a big deal to be worried. We think, well, that's just normal. You know, we all worry about things. But Jesus tells us we shouldn't. He tells us that we should be trusting God instead. He says, "Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Isn't life more than food, and the body's more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. They don't gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of more value than they are?" And then he goes on to say, "Which of you by worrying can add one inch to his height? Which of you by worrying can change the color of one hair on his head?" He says in Luke. Now, Grecian formula and some of those hair coloring products might can. But I'll tell you, the only thing your worrying will do is change your hair to gray faster. That's all it accomplishes. But he goes on to say, "Why are you worried about your clothing? Think about the flowers in the field and how they grow. They don't toil and they don't spin. But even Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed as beautifully as one of these." Now, if God puts that kind of clothing on the grass of the field that's going to wither and die and be thrown in the furnace, how much more is he going to clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. You see, he points out the real problem. When we're worried, it's a sign of a deficiency in faith. And all of us have been there. Some of us may be there right now. A lot of scary things happened in this past year. And a lot of scary things will probably happen this year. And sometimes we get caught up in that and we get worried. He goes on to say, "Don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These are the things the Gentiles, the heathen, seek after. Your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll give you all these other things." Do we really believe that? Oh, I know it's, well, yeah, Jesus said it, of course we believe it. But do we really believe it? Deep down, when we're all alone in our beds at night, do we really believe that God is going to take care of us if we'll put Him first? He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. You got enough trouble to deal with today without worrying about tomorrow's troubles. You deal with them when they get here, if they get here. Someone once said that fear, which goes right hand in hand with worry, fear is false evidence appearing real. It's not real. It's false evidence. But it appears real to us. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious humans rush about and hurry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Worry, it said, is having a mental picture of what we don't want to have happen. Instead of having a positive outlook, we're imagining the worst thing that could happen, the bad things that could happen, instead of imagining the good things that could happen. We need to remember that God is there to help us have the good things. Now that doesn't always mean that He'll protect us from every physical bad thing that could happen to us. But He's there for us spiritually, to provide for us even when those bad physical things do happen. Because the bad physical things are part of this physical life. It's part of the world that has been created. There are going to be storms, and there are going to be diseases, and there's going to be death, and there's going to be problems. If it was heaven here, we wouldn't want to go to heaven up there. So there have to be problems here to make us long to get to heaven. We're probably all familiar with that serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And along those lines, someone said, there's only two things you shouldn't worry about. Those two things are the things you can change and the things you can't change. That covers pretty much everything, doesn't it? Everything's going to fall in one of those two categories, and we shouldn't worry about it. But what causes worry? First of all, pride and lack of faith. Those go hand in hand. And we're like, pride? No, pride would, why would that cause me to worry? Because our own pride makes us think that we have to take care of everything ourselves, and we don't trust God to take care of it. We've got to realize there are a lot of things in this world that are bigger than we are. We can't take care of everything ourselves. We need somebody else bigger than us to take care of it. But see, sometimes our pride, our arrogance, well, I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps and I'm going to take care of everything by myself. We'll fail every time if we try that. We've got to have God on our side if we're going to be able to be successful in this world. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, it's when I want to take care of my problems, well, they're my problems, I'll take care of them. No, Peter says, if you've got cares, you've got concerns, put them on God. He's big enough to handle them. It's like the widow that had raised a huge family, adopted a bunch of kids, and they interviewed her and said, how'd you do it? She said, well, I was in a partnership. They said, partnership? What do you mean? She said, well, I made an arrangement with God. I'd do the work if He'd do all the worrying. Well, see, you let God worry about the worries. He can handle them. Another thing that causes worry is focus on the past. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not count myself too apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. That's the thing we talked about last week, but we didn't talk about it from this angle, that when we look back at the past, especially if we look back, well, remember all the bad things that happened. You know, if we went down through the list of every bad thing that happened last year, We'd be depressed by the time we left here in a few minutes. We'd be, oh, just all these bad things happen. It'd be pretty tough. And if we continually focus on what's in the past, we will live in worry and fear that all those bad things that have happened will happen. But they're not all going to happen today. They're not all going to happen tomorrow. Another thing, however, that we do is focus on the future. This is interesting, isn't it? Worry comes from focusing on the past, but also from focusing on the future. And so if we focus on the future, he says in Matthew 6:34, therefore don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You can wear yourself out worrying about tomorrow. And you'll never be able to know what's going to happen tomorrow until it gets here. You didn't know what was going to happen today till it got here. So how can you know what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm reminded of I believe it was a politician. I just remember the story and not the details because just the gist of it was so funny. They were planning some event. And it's good to plan, make some plans. Jesus isn't saying don't think about don't plan for things. That's not what he's talking about. But it's good to plan for things. And they were planning for something. And he said, well, I want you to give me a plan for all of the unknown contingencies. Now, contingencies obviously are any little things that could happen. Now, in anything, there are known contingencies. If you're going to have a big event, you got to deal with parking, and there could be parking issues. And if there's a storm coming, the power could go out, so you might need a flashlight or some candles or something. You know these kinds of things. But he wanted him to plan for the unknown things that might happen. That probably drove his staff crazy trying to figure out, well, what is it that might happen that we don't know might happen? Well, an asteroid might fall out of the sky. We don't know. That's the whole point of unknown. But we sometimes sit around imagining every possible thing that we could ever imagine that could happen. And then none of it that we imagined ever did happen. It didn't work out that way. It didn't play out like that. We just spend all our time worrying about it for nothing. We don't need to focus on the past. We don't need to focus on the future. We need to live in the present. There is a reason that God sends us one day at a time for us to live. That's all we can do. God can work over time, over huge expanses of time, so that, back at the beginning of time, he's already talking about what's going to happen at the end and all these kind of things. We can't do that. We have to take it one day at a time. That's all we can do. Well, what are the results of worry? If we continue to worry, what's that going to do for us? Well, worry brings depression. Should be an S on that. Brings depression. I'll blame my spell checker for that, not catching that one. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. When we have anxiety, when we have worries, when we're thinking about all the bad, negative things, well, of course that's going to cause our attitude to be negative. And we are the only ones that have the power to change that. I can't make you look at the bright side. You can't make me look at the bright side. We each have to do that for ourselves. We have to trust God, trust what Jesus said is true, and do what He said. And nobody can do that for you. Worry keeps us unfruitful. Matthew 13:22. Parable of the sower. Jesus says, now the one who received seed among the thorns is the one that hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. There are two different things there that happen. Some people, it's the riches. They just get deceived by chasing money instead of chasing God. Others, however, it's the cares, the worry. They're so worried about this life that they can't see the spiritual life that really matters and that's going to be eternal and last forever. They're so focused on the temporary that they give up on the eternal. Worry keeps us unfruitful. Keeps us from producing fruit in our lives for God. Worry is physically unhealthy. And we don't realize that sometimes, but we should. Ulcers, high blood pressure, all these stress disorders that people have, causes eating disorders. can cause, you know, they're so worried they can't eat, or they're so worried that they eat too much, or that, you know, all of these things that cause problems for us physically come from the stress that's caused by worry. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." And remember, worry causes depression. It causes sorrow of the heart. Verse 15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast." Now think about, you know, the wording of that's a little odd, but think about what he's really saying. He's saying, you know, if you're always looking at every problem in the world, every day is going to be a bad day. But if you're cheerful, if you've got a merry heart, it's like having Christmas every day. It's like having Thanksgiving dinner every day. It's a feast every day for you if you have that positive outlook. And then chapter 17, verse 22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." And worry will break your spirit. You just give up trying. You know, he talks about the one that won't even get out of his house in Proverbs. He says, he lays on his bed and he says, "But there's a lion out there in the streets. I might get eaten by a lion." Now, have you used that excuse lately for not doing something? "I might get eaten by a lion." Not a lot of lions around here. But, you know, think about the, "I might get in a car wreck. I might get robbed if I go out with, you know, money to go shopping or something. You know, I might this, I might that." We always, that's the guy that Proverbs talks about. "Oh, there's a lion out there in the streets. I can't leave the house." We've got to beware. Some of the cures for worry. Treatments that will help our ailment of worry in our lives, our ailment of anxiety. Prayer. How important is prayer? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but," see, here's the opposite of that, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." You think about that for a minute. Don't worry. But all these things are going on. What am I going to do? But instead of worry, pray. Do we pray when there's something that happens, or when, you know, when there's some possibility of something? Do we pray, or do we sit there like this fella, chewing our fingernails and just worrying about it? What do we do? Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps the trouble from overtaking you. It gives you indigestion and wakeful hours at night, and fills with gloom the days and weeks, however fair and bright. It puts a frown upon the face and sharpness in the tone. We're unfit to live with others and unfit to live alone. Worry. Why worry? What can worry do? It never keeps the trouble from overtaking you. Pray. Why pray? What can praying do? Prayer really changes things, arranges life anew. It's good for your digestion, gives you peaceful sleep at night, and fills the grayest days with rays of golden glowing light. It puts a smile upon your face, a love note in your tone. It makes you fit to live with others and fit to live alone. Pray, why pray? What can praying do? It brings God down from heaven to live and work with you. How's your prayer life? Chances are, if you're struggling with worry, your prayer life is struggling too, because it's really hard to pray when you're spending your time worrying. And if you're praying, then you know God's got it under control and you don't have a lot of worries in your life. Another cure for worry is to take comfort in God and His Word. Psalm 94 and verse 19, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." And 1 Thessalonians 4:18, he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." They had some concerns in Thessalonica. They had some worries. And Paul wrote them these things about the coming of Christ and the resurrection and the hope of heaven and all these things. And he said, "You comfort one another with these words." God's words are a comfort to our souls. So take comfort in God and His Word. So first we saw praying will help our worry. Another thing, though, on the other side that's going to help us is go to God's Word. Read it. Study it. your anxious concerns about this life will fade away into your spiritual focus on God's Word. Especially some of the Psalms. Oh, some of those Psalms are so good for times when we're worried. To know that, hey, you know, we're not the only ones that ever face difficulties. And yet, we can come through those things with our trust in God. And that is what we need to do, is trust in God. That's the ultimate cure. Of course, the prayer and the reading of God's Word, taking comfort in His Word, is very important. But we've got to keep focused on God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." You want to have peace? You want to not lay awake tossing and turning worrying? You've got to put your trust in God. If our mind is stayed on God, we'll have peace. And Jeremiah 17:7 and 8 tells us also to trust in God. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, spreads out his roots by the river. He won't fear the heat when it comes. His leaf will be green. You will not be anxious in the year of drought and won't even cease from yielding fruit." Even in the year of drought, you'll keep producing fruit. Even when the bad times do come, you'll keep being faithful to God. And then, of course, God is with us. Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." Why are we afraid? Even in the valley of the shadow of death, there's no need to be afraid if God is with us. And then in John 14, Jesus teaches the same things. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He's about to leave his disciples, and he's telling them, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be disturbed by this. If you believe in God, you need to believe in me too. We're together. The Father and I are one, he says on many occasions. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it weren't so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you so that you can be where I am. Think about that for a minute. Jesus is preparing a place so that we can be with Him. And He's going to come back. He promised it. We don't need to worry about what happens in this life, because we've got a better home awaiting us. And then we need to ask for God's help. And of course, this is part of prayer, but we need to ask for God's help in recognizing our anxieties, recognizing our worries, recognizing what causes us to worry, so that we can avoid those things. Psalm 139 and verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, know my worries, know my fears." God already does know them, but He can help us to deal with them as well. And then we need to turn our worry over to God. And once we give it to Him, we need to leave it there. We don't need to be like the one who came and brought all his package of problems, and he opened up the bag and he pulled them out and said, "Look, God, I got this problem, and I got this problem, and I got this problem." And then he stuffed them all back in the bag and threw it up and threw it back over his shoulder and walked off with them. Once we give God our worries and our fears and our problems, leave them there. Don't pick them up and take them away from the throne of grace with you when you go. Leave them with God. Let Him deal with it. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We read that already, and we want to read it again, because it's so important that we put our cares on Him. And we need to keep focused on the present. Psalm 118 and verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, I know contextually this passage is actually talking about one particular day, but the application for every day is there. Every day is the Lord's day that He's made. Now, not every day is the Lord's day like today, Sunday, the first day of the week, but the Lord has made every day for us. And we need to rejoice and be glad every day. We need to consider these things and be focused on today, not the past, not the future, 1 Peter 3:12 through 17 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That may be why some are worried. Maybe they realize they're not living like God wants them to live. They realize they're not really living a righteous life. Maybe they're hypocrites. Maybe they're putting up a false front and pretending to be righteous when they really know they're not. And that person's got some things to worry about, because his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous and his eyes are on the righteous, but he is against those who do evil. And he can see right through all the facades. Other people may not recognize it, but God will every time. He'll see the frauds and the fakes. But if we're living righteous, we should know he's there watching over us, listening to us when we pray to him. And we shouldn't be afraid. He says, even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. Don't be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Put him on his throne where he belongs in your heart, not anything else. And always be ready to give a defense if anyone asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. We need not be afraid of what man can do to us. We have to realize the spiritual things can't be taken from us. They're ours and they cannot be taken away. Luke 10:38-42 teaches us this. And then, of course, we have to remind ourselves continually that God does care. The psalmist says in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. And he goes on. You can read the rest of that psalm. It's one of those that I talked about that is a comfort to us if we'll look at it. But we need to turn off the news or the Facebook feed with all of the bad things and the negative things that are out there and all the woe is me and woe is the world and it's all so bad, and open up God's Word instead and be reminded he's still on the throne. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter that there are terrorists out there. I mean, you know, yes, they're out there, and yes, it's real. But none of that matters because God's on the throne. Is he on the throne of your heart? Are you trusting in him? Are you praying to him? Are you looking to his Word for the comfort that it gives? If not, why not? What are you waiting for? You can have a worry-free week if you will just do the things that Jesus taught us to do. You see, worrying's not going to stop the bad stuff from happening. I'm not sure if Linus is telling Charlie Brown or Charlie Brown's telling Linus, but you know, worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you from enjoying the good things. God wants you to enjoy the good. Jesus came so that you could have an abundant life, not a life filled with worry and concern and fear. We can overcome it through faith in him. If you need to respond to his invitation, if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian but you've let worry overtake you, whatever need you might have, please respond as we stand and as we sing.